This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday.
You're asking to hear something I don't want to say. But if I do say it, I think you ought to hear it.
You got anything on your chest besides your chin, you better get it off.
All right, then you asked for it.
Yes, we did. So lay it on us. Free-for-all Friday means you set the tone. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Good afternoon and welcome to this Free for All Friday. Of course, it's the day when you set the agenda. I'd just like to throw a couple of things out there. And here's a story that we haven't talked about on this show, though I am sure that you heard it on Zoomer Radio News. And that is this dust up between the city and the Toronto District School Board. Now, the TDSB is suing the province, the city, and the police over a fire 2 years ago at York Memorial Collegiate. And they are alleging that the fire department was negligent, that they didn't put out a small fire properly, and that's why it came back and destroyed the whole school. They also allege that the fire department covered it up. They impugned the fire chief, Matthew Pegg. So normally, none of these departments comment on things before the courts. But yesterday, the city manager sent a scathing letter to them saying that they are making baseless claims, impugning the fire chief, and that they should withdraw them and apologize and probably drop the lawsuit. Now, I've heard explanations. This is, you know, an insurance company thing in order to get paid out. My observation is, whoever wins, loses, it's the taxpayers that are going to be on the hook for this. But what do you make of it? 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Speaking of dust ups, there was the very confusing NACI guidance earlier this week suggesting that AstraZeneca was an inferior vaccine. It caused a lot of confusion. They sort of walked it back a little bit, saying don't have buyer's remorse. Very, very strange communications that has a lot of people, a lot of scientists upset. Mother's Day is coming up. I'd also like to hear from you. Are you going to see your mother? Are you going to be able to? Unless you live in the same household, it is verboten. And what about if you are a mother and you have kids and grandkids that you haven't hugged for a long time? And yesterday we started this discussion about customer service during the pandemic. I've had a few really bad experiences. Other people have had too. So I'd like to hear from you. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-744-740. And I would like to start with William, who is in the retail trade part-time. Hi, William.
Hi, how are you today, Willie?
Really? Fine, how are you?
Fine, thank you. So there's two things. There's the retail, and I just wanted to also touch on getting a survey about how people would feel if an election was to be forced.
Okay, so let's stick to the retail for now. Are you working in an essential retailer or a different one?
It is deemed essential.
Okay.
And it does not exclude retail.
It does not exclude retail?
No, it is not a retailer that sells food.
Okay, so it's a hardware store or something like that.
That is correct.
And are people in the store or it's curbside pickup?
It is curbside pickup. And so it's I understand what you were saying about, you know, people feeling frustrated, but there's also the frustration of those that are working in the store, running orders, seeing the customers at the curbside. We've got customers that surprisingly acknowledge the fact that they're not aware that there is a shutdown. And they try to walk into the store. You have to explain to them And sorry, the store is closed for in-store shopping. And you go, well, when did that happen? It's 3 weeks ago. It's a government law. People may be looking for things that really aren't necessarily essential. If you were to have a flooded toilet, I would consider that to be essential. If you're looking for something for hanging a picture, is that essential? I understand people want to get things done. We all want to return to a normal lifestyle. But we all have to have consideration for other people.
Let me just make one thing clear. When I and others were complaining about customer service, it wasn't against the people working in retail. And I even understand if when I order online, there can be a mistake because people are overworked and some of them are brand new. It's the way, presumably this is determined by management. It's the way they handle a problem that happens. And I think that people who are working retail have a really tough job right now, and I think we appreciate their work. You know, there's a hardware store not far from where I live, and oh, there's always a lineup outside of it because all the renovation business is booming right now. So, you know, I just want to make that clear. It's not a complaint about people who are working the front lines of retail for sure.
I recognize that there are a lot of people that are very, very appreciative of what we're doing. There are people that are frustrated as to what is going on with the situation, and they may be have a flippant attitude and vent that on the person that's running something out of the store to them.
Right. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't want to have to deal with somebody who thinks that the restrictions are baloney and takes it out on me.
I mean, we've also seen, so we've got a garden center, and I've also been into, like, grocery stores. And yet, there are people that are medically excluded from wearing masks. We need to have people understand that if you are excluded from wearing a mask, you need to take into consideration the rights of other people. That is, don't encroach upon personal space, and that is deemed to be 6 feet. Don't flaunt the fact that you don't have to wear a mask and you just barge in and do whatever you want. If everybody takes care of everybody else, we're going to get through with that.
Yeah, and to be honest, when I go to grocery stores, I have yet to see anyone not wearing a mask. There's a line outside and enforces it. So I don't know how it happens. I know that on the TTC, there are a lot of people who don't wear masks for whatever reason. But my personal experience in a grocery store, I haven't encountered it yet.
I've encountered two people.
Okay, well, yeah.
One was walking through bold as brass, like, out of a mask, and I'm just going to walk through wherever I want. I move out of the way so that he can pass by.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? I move out of the way even of people who are masked.
Yeah.
Can't be too careful. William, thanks very much for your call.
You're welcome. Have a nice day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Astrid in Fenelon. Is it Fenelon Falls?
Yeah, Fenelon Falls.
Okay.
Yes. Hi, Libby. And
hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
You're amazing by how you handle all the questions, et cetera.
Thank you.
My point today is I'm still puzzled about the fact getting my second vaccine shot over 15 weeks after I had my first one. I got the first one. It was the Pfizer on April 7th. And I'm scheduled for July 28th, which is over 15 weeks. What I'm saying here is such a long time, and the Pfizer and the Moderna, they said in the beginning that it should be from one to the other, should be 3 to 4 weeks. I had, I know you've heard all this before, I have family in Germany, and they had the Pfizer as well, and they had their second shot within 1 month.
Well, you know what? Their governments did a better job of procuring vaccines on time. That's why we are in this predicament. No other country in the world has stretched the interval that far. There are some other places where it's been stretched to 3 months, and that seems to be okay. Nobody else is trying a four-month interval. The only thing we can hope for is that the supply gets better and the governments who have stretched it to 4 months will change their minds if there's vaccine and let us have the second shot sooner. That's the bottom line. I mean, what our government did decide that probably was not a bad decision is that it's better to vaccinate more people with a first shot than to give much fewer people the two shots.
I realize that.
So it is squarely because we did not get the supply we need in the timeline that we need. And no matter how much the federal government can tell you that they're doing a fantastic job, that is the problem.
Yeah, I do realize that. The thing is, when you finally get the second shot, and it seems like you, the reaction would be like you really never had the first shot. So that's what I'm really concerned about.
I'm sure that that's not the case because you get the shot and you get a certain level of antibodies.
Yeah.
And they last for a certain amount of time, and the second booster shot ups the level of antibodies. But the first shot and the real world data shows that the first shot protects you pretty well, and it especially definitely protects you from severe illness and dying, which is the important thing. So, it's not that your first shot is going to be nullified. Now people are talking about the fact that we will need yet another booster, that it's not just going to be these two shots like we often get with flu shots. But let's cross that bridge when we get to it. Astrid, you know, I hear you. A lot of people are upset about the interval.
Yeah, I know. And like I said, you've heard this before. Anyways, it's good to hear it again. And I put it in my head and I'm good with it now and just hope for the best.
Let's hope for the best. That's all we can do. Thanks for your call.
And happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we've got Valerie in Zurich, Ontario. And Valerie, you want to talk about online shopping?
Yes. I'm a senior, and I've never done it before until about a month or two ago. I deal with Hanson's Independent in Exeter for my groceries.
Mm-hmm.
They were most courteous. If they wished to make a substitute, they asked for my permission. Do you want to substitute or not? And also, at pickup times, the girl comes out. She puts all your groceries in the car. Very, very pleasant.
And you know what, Valerie? That's the one thing I'm saying, that your best bet now is to deal with people locally or more or less locally when there is an actual person that you may want to reach. So the problems I had with online shopping were with big companies, one of which had a Canadian office, which is not so big, but they were bad and they were shut down. They just said, we're not there. And when I eventually reached a customer service person, he was just incredibly rude. So dealing with local people, because often, you know, like our previous caller who works in hardware, you can't go into the hardware store, but they can give you curbside pickup. There are grocery delivery services. I've heard a lot of good things about them, about grocery delivery. I don't, I go in person to grocery shop. That's just me, but I've heard a lot of good things about them. And I think that if you deal with people who want to make sure that you're still their customer when this is all over, that's a pretty good bet. And I'm really glad to hear that you're doing well with online shopping. You don't have to go out and you're getting your groceries.
Yes.
Thanks for your call.
You're more than welcome and have a great day.
Thank you.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's time for our first break. We've been talking about the shots. We're talking about customer service. Online shopping, it's new for many people. whether you use it for groceries or for something else. You know, people are out shopping and, you know, the renovation business, anything to do with home improvement is just booming. You're lucky if you can actually get the parts you need. And I think our caller is right. Not all of it is exactly essential. So the numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. We have not yet talked about this dust up between the Toronto District School Board suing the province, the city and the police, and then the city manager coming out swinging with a letter saying you've made baseless claims impugning the fire chief and take it back. And what about these lawsuits? Who's going to pay? So the numbers, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer.
When one considers the meaning of life, it is a struggle between alternative viewpoints of life itself.
A free-for-all Friday.
And without the ability to defend one's own viewpoint against other, perhaps more aggressive ideologies, then reasonableness and moderation could quite simply disappear.
Name your topic and be as deep as you like, as long as there's a point in there somewhere. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free for All Friday. I'm going to get right to the phones. Let's hear from Murray in Malton. Hello, Murray.
Hi, Libby. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Anyway, my comment is, did the virus start here in Canada or where did it start? China, right?
Started in China. That's right.
Right. So if nobody left China, would we have the virus here now?
That's a very hard question to answer, but it is everywhere around the world. And, you know, my view is that these days, nothing stays local anywhere.
No, I know. But my point is, if China had shut their borders down when they realized that they had a, before they had a big problem, is it, the world would be in a better place, right?
I can't answer that. I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think you do either, actually.
Well, but they're telling us that the virus is spread by people.
The virus is spread.
It's not by packages. It's by people.
That's right. So you want to make a point about Ford's take on the border policy, but the fact right now is that Ford is kind of in trouble about other things, and the number of cases that have come through the border, if you believe the official statistics, is pretty low.
Yes, but and that's the other point. 1%, right?
Yep.
Every group is saying 1%. So how many groups are there? Right? It wouldn't take you long to add up 20 different groups.
Well, 20.
We're only responsible for 1%.
Well, no, they're talking about cases that come through the border. But
yes.
I mean, if you think that that would solve everything, you know, don't know.
I don't think it would solve everything. But my point is, we have a case right now in one of the motels where people are supposed to quarantine.
Oh, there are 13 cases. There are 13 cases that I agree with you. That's quite something that the place where you're supposed to go has an outbreak. Anyway, thank you for your call, Murray. And let us go to Daryl in Toronto. Hello, Daryl.
Hi, how you doing today?
Fine, how are you?
I'm hanging in here. As to what you were just talking about, I have another comment but regarding that. I mean, you can say that, you know, it's only 1% coming in through the border, but, you know, when you're talking with exponential growth, 1% becomes 100% sooner or later.
Well, you one know, to 100 is later. But
the point is, it's that first 1% that is doing it. It's, you know, it's what's going to cause it. But that's another issue. The question I had was, is the second, I got my Pfizer about 3 weeks ago. Is the second dose any different than the first one, or is it just a repeat?
My understanding is that it's a repeat.
Okay. Because it would. If it wasn't, it would be concerning as to start mixing them up and stuff like that.
Well, they're actually looking into mixing them up because there are some scientists who say that might give a
better
response.
Yeah, we may need to get all
response.
Of them. Yeah. We may need to get all of them eventually. But it's just, I'm also concerned with this idea of waiting 16 weeks when there's no science to really back that up.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about that.
How could they go, and make that decision? Because it could turn out, if science shows that they've just wasted all those first shots.
I don't know that they would have wasted the first shots. I don't think that's the right conclusion, but we don't know. And a lot of people are concerned about what the result is, and they, that decision is purely based on supply. They probably came up with 4 months with what they expect coming in. Things are starting to move pretty quickly with supply coming in. So hopefully they'll be able to amend that. Look what we did for you. We made it sooner.
No, I understand. Like, they take the long date and then hopefully can look better rather than disappointing people. But one of my concerns is that, as I've expressed before, they can't count on stuff that was promised in the next 2 weeks to show up.
Exactly.
So my concern is that when it comes to, 4 months down the road, there's going to be more delays, production problems, and this and that. And, what do they do in that case?
Well, exactly. We'll see.
Okay. Have a good weekend. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Okay. Thanks for that, Daryl. Okay. Now, I'm looking at a call on the board from Siva in Toronto, and it's a story that's been reported on conspiracy websites. It's about a doctor who they say got sick of COVID and died in India after being fully vaccinated. So I'm not going to get into this because I've looked it up, and the doctor did die, but nobody knows what he died of, and nobody knows if he's been vaccinated. He was from Rutgers University. It's something that's being reported in fringe news outlets, and I don't like to repeat that. I mean, I've told you enough of the story, but I'm just saying it looks like some of that misinformation to me. So, Siva, I'm sorry. I'm going to let that go. And
okay, not a problem.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, you think, what about Kamala? You think she's going to be sitting pretty good with the public now since this young man has come out and said that she's his mother and they do look alike? Did you see the picture?
I have no idea what you're referring to.
No, there's a young man in Australia who said Charles and Camilla are his parents, and the pictures are stunning. You can see mother and son.
I'm gobsmacked. I have no idea.
All right.
But everybody, you can... Siva, all I'll say to you is that maybe you're spending too much time on very dubious websites, but I guess that one is, entertaining. Thanks for your call. Oops. Oopsie. Okay. Let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. Got to say, I haven't seen anything about that, but oh my goodness. Okay. Let's go to Dan in Brampton. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hi, Libby. I've spoken to you before. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I just let everybody know that today is actually the 76th anniversary of the end of World War II in Europe. And it doesn't seem to have made it to the news media today.
Good point to remind us.
Yes. And I guess a couple of months ago, I was telling you my dad and I was writing his biography about an RCAF navigator. And it's done. And it's on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And name of the book is, can I do an advertisement?
Okay, we'll let you this time.
Okay. The name of the book is Luck is 33 Eggs. Memories and Photographs of a Royal Canadian Air Force Navigator.
Okay, that's great. How long did it take you to put that together?
My dad and I spent 2.5 years on it.
Wow.
So it's from it starts at age 4 and continues for 93 years. So yeah. It was a job so that his great grandchildren would remember who he was.
Yeah, well, it's quite a job, and good for you for doing it.
Yes, he has a fabulous memory, and that made it possible.
Uh-huh. And is he okay? Is he still with us?
He's living independently in a house him and my mom built in 1948 in Scarborough.
Wow. I'm saying knock wood, even though it's not wood that I'm knocking on, but you're a very lucky man.
I am very lucky. I realize that, yes.
Okay, Dan, thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tom in Ajax. Hello, Tom.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. I want to mention more shameful behavior by our federal government trying to distract from the fact that the Prime Minister's office knows about this horrible abuse going on to the female members of our military. And once again, they're trying to do the same thing they did in 2015 and hold it up as something new. Back in 15, they hired a retired Supreme Court justice to do a report on abuse in the military. The report came back, it went to the Prime Minister's office, and they just kind of shelved it. Now that everything's come back up again, they've done the same thing. They've hired Louise Arbour, a retired female Supreme Court justice, to do this all over again. And it's nothing more than an excuse to distract from the Prime Minister's office, knew about this. And they're just trying to say, well, we'll have this groundbreaking report. All they're going to do is reboot that 2015 one. And it's shameful for them not to just take ownership of this.
Mm, yeah. I mean, you know, this is a huge problem. It's a culture problem. And I agree with you. They said that they would be taking it on, and they did not. So we have to see if this time anything happens. But, you know, I don't blame you for being cynical about it.
Well, again, it's just it's proving once again that there is no bar set low enough that politicians can't just walk underneath it and claim, hey, no problem. And, you know, he just seems to skate away from this stuff. All these female people in the military and their families, they all vote.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've come to the conclusion that, you know, back in the day, it wasn't black makeup he was putting on. It was Teflon.
That
and
too.
Hopefully it's starting to wear off this time. But that's just a shiny object to distract that once again, he's being dragged into this and he's claiming ignorance of it while brushing his hair back. And I think it's just shameful.
Okay, Tom, thanks for your call.
Have a good weekend.
You too. All right, let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. I saw somebody who wanted to talk about this lawsuit and they suddenly disappeared. So I'm keen to get a few views on that one. It has me shaking my head, I'll tell you that. Let us go, in the meantime, to Barry in North York. Hello, Barry.
Good afternoon, Libby. Long time no talk to you.
Long time no talk. You're the optimistic guy.
I just wanted to pass on something that a friend of mine YouTubed me the other day. It was a 6-minute dissertation about how important and healthy walking is. I couldn't believe it. It said that 50% chance of getting cancer if you walk 5 days a week, 30 minutes a day, doesn't have to be all at once, could be in sections, like 2-15 minutes. And also he said that it could help prevent heart attacks, stroke, cholesterol, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cancer, all sorts of things. He said just by walking 30 minutes a day. I thought, wow, that's amazing.
Well, it's actually 30 minutes a day of almost any kind of exercise is very good for you.
true. I know I had a problem with my, well, I thought of it, heart. I mean, I sent to a cardiologist first time in my life because, and my sister-in-law was a nurse, said, look, you know, you're not Peruvian dancing now. You're not going rushing out for buses and things. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing any exercise. And she was right, but went to doctors and things. After I found out there was no problem with my heart, the doctor said, you have a good heart in more ways than one, I know. And so I started my, excuse me, my pulse was every time that I don't have to be sitting down, I'm walking, like I'm walking right now when I'm talking to you in my apartment. And it went away. I mean, there was no problem. No problem with my chest. There was pressure before in that, and almost said the cardiologist said, oh, it might be a problem with your heart. There wasn't. And all it took was the walking. And now, with all the Mayflowers and beautiful bloom and the cherry blossoms and the birds singing, I mean, why not a half an hour outside in this beautiful weather in the spring?
Well, I'm waiting for the beautiful weather in the spring. I'm looking outside. It's not so beautiful, but...
Yesterday was nice. I went out for a nice walk.
Yep, yesterday was sunny. Yesterday was nice, and it's okay. Thanks, yeah. Gary, for your call.
You're welcome. Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks. I'm not a mother, but happy Mother's Day to everyone who is.
Everybody out there as well, right?
Yep. Okay, yeah. Let's go to JD in Etobicoke. JD.
Hi, how are you today, Libby? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Hello?
Hi, JD. Hi, Libby. How are you?
I'm fine. Go ahead. You're on the air, JD.
Yeah, so there's a couple of things I want to say. I want to say now, I'm realizing more and more, you know, I'm off of the lakeshore, and people are now resorting to live in bus shelters on the lakeshore. And I did mention to the police the other day, but I'm driving along the lakeshore again, and in three bus shelters, you've got people laying down, drinking bottles of wine. And this is like in the Browns Line area. And it's very sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's being done about this. And it's, you know, it's more and more evident now because of COVID. I've lived on the lakeshore for over 50 years, and I've never in my life seen what's going on now. That's my first comment. My second comment is I got to spend two nights in Humber River, and my daughter had a baby.
The hospital.
The hospital. And, you know, it's amazing the things that those nurses and doctors are really going through. So you're actually in there for 48 hours, and you see the running around they do, the PPE, the changing they've got to do, and they're just nonstop. I mean, it's just so unreal. And we just have to give the biggest shout out to every single one of them of the job that they're doing. And it just never ends. And it just, you know, it's like my heart is so unbelievably thankful for them now, because until you're actually in it, you don't even really know what's going on. People complain about this and that and hospitals and this, but really, they don't know until they're in that situation. I mean, my daughter was in, the baby was in the NICU at Humber River, and every single one of them, I got to give the biggest shout out because they just did not stop.
Yeah, I agree with you, and not just at Humber River.
Every hospital,
yeah.
Yeah, people just don't realize it because they haven't experienced it. When you're in there and you see what actually goes on, and they're constantly having to change their clothes and wear masks and do this, and like on top of the regular job that they're doing, and like 12-hour days, you know, and it's just, I don't know how they're doing it.
They're doing unbelievable service. JD, sorry. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye for now. We've got to take another break. The numbers, once again, 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. We will be back with more of your calls.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer. A free-for-all Friday. Step up, say your piece, and we promise not to interrupt.
Excuse me!
Just be lively about it. We have a lot of listeners hanging on your every word. Here is Libby Znaimer.
Welcome back to this Free For All Friday. I'm going to go to Raymond in Etobicoke. And Raymond, you want to talk about that TDSB lawsuit?
Yes, that fire was a terrible thing. And I was really surprised when the fire marshal brought out his report. He flat out blamed the fire department for not following protocol at that fire.
That's very different than what I am reading, but I don't remember that report. So,
what the story was at the fire marshal said a large building fire, not necessarily a large fire, but at a very large building. Standard protocol when the fire is considered out, the trucks leave. One truck must be left overnight in case the fire breaks out. That was not done. The fire department didn't do it because there was a school security person on duty, and they left it up to him, somebody that would be an untrained minimum wage person. And the fire marshal said it took him an hour and a half to discover that there was a fire in there. By that time, it was too late.
Well, what I'm reading here, part of the allegations in this lawsuit, is that Chief Pegg met with the fire marshal's office, which was headed by his brother, and they are alleging that the fire marshal actually downplayed everything. So it's pretty murky.
Yeah, it is indeed, and it's a terrible thing. I go by there all the time, and there's been no sign of any repair work being done on that lovely old building. No sign for months. And just,
And with all of these lawsuits, I mean, I'm thinking it's taxpayers that are going to be on the hook.
Well, maybe it's the insurance companies that are trying to dodge things. They are famous for trying to weasel out of paying off. And it's not good. Part of the current story, I believe, it says that they have tried to settle this matter quietly, internally, but they were not satisfied, and that's why the GDSB has brought this lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Well,
amazing, surprising.
Well, yeah, I mean, one way or another, however it's settled, the next time there has to be more insurance, it's going to cost the taxpayers.
Yes, yeah. Like I say, I was really surprised when the fire marshal brought out that report and just flat out blamed the fire department, because it seems like the sort of thing that, you know, bureaucratic thing, you soft pedal things and you hum and haw here and around the thing and, you know. But the way he just come out and said, no, they didn't follow protocol. There's no fire. It was left there at night, and that's what they're required to do.
Hmm.
Might be worth something for you to try and track that down.
Okay.
Yeah. It was in the Toronto Star.
I'm reading from the Globe and Mail, so.
Yeah, no, I mean like the original thing that where he brought it out, that was a report.
Okay, Raymond, thanks for that.
Bye.
Okay, I am going to take a call from Wanda. And Wanda, you seem to think that there's a shortened time for second doses in York Region, and I have what they have to say about it here. But Wanda, is that right? You think there's a shortened time? Why do you think that?
Well, hi. I know two people who have had their injections at Richmond Green, and their second date is in 12 weeks. And I'm like, what? And I can't get information from Toronto Public Health. I can't get information about, you know, anything about shortening the time frame, because we're all waiting at 16. 12 would be great. You know, shorter would be great. But I don't know what's going on unless they have such a surplus of vaccines.
I think that there are maybe certain types of healthcare workers who are getting a second shot.
No,
they're just
they're not special. They're young. When I say they're not special, of course they're special as people, but they're just younger people and they don't have underlying health conditions or anything. They're getting them in 12 weeks. I mean,
have you seen the documentation?
Personally, no.
Well, okay. I'd have a look at the documentation because I am on the York Region vaccination website and it says that the province will follow the NACI recommendation to increase the interval for all between all Health Canada approved COVID-19 vaccines to up to 16 weeks. And it goes on. So that's what they have on their official website. So before you think that anybody, especially a young person with no underlying conditions, is suddenly jumping the queue on that, I would first of all, check the documents.
Oh, I'm not upset. I'm just confused. And well, that's why I was like, what? Are you guys sure? And it's two separate people.
Well, look at their paperwork.
Well, I guess I'll have to, but it's going to be, well, it'll be awkward. But I thank you very much because I couldn't get any information. And I thought,
Well, it's on their website and there's a pull down and it says receiving your second dose.
Yeah, they're all doing that now. And I thought there was something special up at York.
Okay.
But I thank you so much, really, for taking my call and my query, because I'm like, okay, maybe something's changing and we don't know. Hooray.
Well, I hope something will change, but not today. Thanks, Wanda.
Thank you. Take care. Be well. Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. All right. We still have some time left. Let me give the numbers out again. 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And let's hear from Kevin in Scarborough. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Libby. I really feel very scared and worried about my mom. My law teacher taught us that the government always what's that saying she used to have? The government never puts a crisis to waste, meaning, for instance, when Mr. Doug Ford said he'll put an iron ring around old age homes in which many people died, not of COVID, but of horrendous conditions, dying in their own feces, their urine, not being fed for days, dying of dehydration. They were never taken care of, Ms. Libby. And when I see Mr. Trudeau, this is fact, not fiction, not opinions, not subjective. It's fact that Mr. Trudeau wants to pass Bill C-10, police state, surveillance state, where they control what you see, what you hear, and what you put out on the internet. That sounds too much to me like communism. I'm very scared and worried. You know,
well, let me just give some background. It's a bill updating the Broadcasting Act. It has come under a lot of criticism. The government keeps saying, "Oh, we don't want to limit, you know, your cat videos," but the criticism of this bill is that it might infringe on free expression, and it talks about it. It's dealing with how the CRTC, which is the broadcast regulator, can regulate media posts. So that's what the criticism of it is. And a lot of people have criticized it, just like you are.
Well, Mom, Libby.
I'm not your mom.
I know, Libby.
Okay.
When you give them an inch, they take a yard, my mom taught me. And if you give them a yard, they take a mile. Since when has the government never mismanaged or lied to us? All of them have lied to us and been caught in corruption and going back on their word, and talk is cheap. They cannot be trusted.
Yeah, well, I understand why you feel that way. Thanks for your call, Kevin. Okay, Yasmin in Oakville. Hello, Yasmin.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, Libby. Thank you for taking my call. What I'm calling regarding is I live in Oakville, which is under Halton region, and I'm really confused regarding the vaccination. My husband works in a hot zone. We called to get the vaccination, and they were telling us no because Halton is a safe zone. Which is really confusing. And, you know, the response that I got from the health line is if you want, because we're both under 60, they said you can go to the drugstore to get the vaccination. And I said, well, I have underlying health conditions. I don't want to take the AstraZeneca. Why should I be forced to take that? instead, because of, you know, there's people in Peel, in Scarborough, in Toronto, they're all, it doesn't matter what the age group is, they have a choice. Now, because we're in a safe zone, as I said, my husband works in a hot zone, it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think AstraZeneca is safe, and if you want to go to a pop-up where they're having other vaccines, you have to show proof that you either live there or work there. You know, I know that a lot of people are confused about AstraZeneca, but it is very safe. Everything in the world has some side effects. Those are really rare. And your husband, if he works in a hot zone, can probably go to one of those pop-ups where they have something else. But if you don't, you probably can't.
Yeah, well, he was told no, he can't get it because of where we live.
Right, so but in the hot zones, if you show proof that you work there and
okay.
that you have to go to work, I mean, if he works from home and
no.
works in a hot zone, if he has to go to work every day and can show proof of that in a hot zone, he can go to a pop-up there.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that. I wasn't aware of that.
Okay, Yasmin, good
thank
luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, there are so many different kind of rules on how to register and where to go and which postal code. I really understand why it can be very confusing for people. And you have to sign up on this, you know, on the province's site, or no, you have to do another site, or if it's a pop-up, you don't need an appointment, but you do need proof of where you live or work. Wow, it's just really confusing. It can be. But I'm going to go to a happy comment here from Yona in Thornhill. Hello, Yona.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I listen mostly every day to you. Thank
right.
you very much for everything you do.
Thank you.
And I today is my mother-in-law. My husband is with me here, too. And she's 101 years old today.
Wow. I'm going to give her a bell for that.
Yes. She's in the Baycrest Self Assisted Living. And I do want to say one thing. A shout out to the Baycrest Hospital and everything. God bless them. The assisted living have only lost one person this entire time from the COVID. And they are phenomenal at lockdowns and keeping everybody safe. So they've done well. They've done a big, huge mini party sort of for her 101st birthday, a cake, and my a caregiver, Ellen, phenomenal, helping her keep well and keep going.
Well, that is very good news and all the best. And
thanks.
It's just in time for Mother's Day.
Yes, she always was, and just in time for Mother's Day. Yes. Thank you so much for taking my call. And again, Baycrest, phenomenal. Goldie Dillman, phenomenal, and she's still going, and she's about 60% there and 40% not, and vice versa, so pretty darn good for 101.
Okay, excellent for 101. Yona, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, and we have time for one more Mother's Day wish, John in Brampton. Hi, John.
Hi, Libby. I look up your phone number under Goldock under G in my old phone book. Anyway, the reason for my call is I think they're getting a little too aggressive. If you're telling me I can't go over to see one of my friends, just the two of us, staying 6 feet apart and having a beer, I can't do that.
I thought you wanted to talk about Mother's Day to end
the
show.
Yeah, I do. The same thing. I have three wonderful daughters, and you telling me they can't come, stay 6 feet apart with masks on, and visit my wife.
Well, that's under the stay-at-home order, but do you want to wish them?
I don't agree with it.
Okay.
I don't agree with it. They're going too far.
Okay, John. Thanks for that. Okay. That is all the time we have for this week and for today, and I'll be back here on Monday. In the meantime, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and that's all the time we have.
Fight Back with Libby Znaimer is produced by Zeev Hadi, with technical production by Jordan Chakravarty and Jeremy Logan. Check out the Fight Back podcast anytime at zoomerradio.ca or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Zoomer Radio Toronto, CFZM FM and CFZM AM, owned and operated by MZ Media Incorporated.
Good afternoon, 1 o'clock. Bob Komsic with news on Zoomer Radio, mostly cloudy, high of 11. Currently it is 8 or 46 Fahrenheit. In the news, Justin Trudeau says his government's agreed to take part in talks at the World Trade Organization for a temporary waiver that would lift the secrecy on patents for COVID-19 vaccines. The Prime Minister's comments follows a group of MPs from all five parties calling on him to support the WTO waiver. Supporters say it would make it easier for developing countries to import the equipment, expertise, and materials needed to make their own vaccines. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister says his government will continue doing everything it can to help India get through what he calls its heartbreaking COVID crisis.
Last week, we announced $10 million in support for the people of India through the Canadian Red Cross. This week, we sent a first cargo plane with antiviral medication and ventilators, and there will be more to come. Again, let me reassure everyone that what we're sending...
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.